Probably most of you, if you read the news or watch the news at all, saw the news last week about this sex trafficking sting that took place in the area. And I looked it up online. Someone had told me about it. And there are pictures of, I think, 11 different men who were caught in this sting. One of those young men was a youth pastor in a church in Bristol. Now, here is a man who obviously knows better. Here's a man who teaches the Word of God. He knows what the Word of God says. And yet has been so ensnared by sin that he's got involved in a children's sex ring. I hate to even say it. Now, that man's life has been changed forever. His life will never be the same. He will be marked as a sex offender. Everywhere he goes, it will be public knowledge. He's obviously no longer going to be in the ministry. I assume he'll probably serve some jail time. And you stop and you think about it and you think, why in the world would someone do that? The simple matter of the fact is, sin makes us stupid. You ever thought about that? I mean, sin makes it makes us make the dumbest decisions in our life that bring about the worst fruit that we could ever have when we choose to disobey the Word of God. Now, we're looking at four different people or groups of people and their relationship to the Word of God. The first one we saw now a month ago was a man who desired the Word of God. What was his name? Jehoshaphat, right. He was a king, and he was going to battle with Ahab, and he said, we need to find out the Word of God. And the second group of people were guys who didn't desire the Word of God, but they distorted the Word of God, and those were 400 prophets. And it's interesting, Buddy and I were working this week out here in the addition, and we were getting ready to paint. So we wanted to make sure that there were no bad places in the wall, the sheetrock, the mud, whatever, that there weren't any places that were bad. And to be honest with you, there are no lights in that room right now. And if you walk in there without the lights, it didn't look bad at all. It really didn't. Looked great from my house. I mean, you know. But we got this 500-watt halogen light and put it on a 2x4, and I would hold that thing on the wall, and you would not believe all the places we found. Now, to be honest with you, I did much of the work on the walls. Buddy did much of the work on the ceiling. I was embarrassed because we were looking at the walls. It was painful. And Buddy said, you know, isn't that what you've been teaching about? People don't want to go to church where they hear the truth, the light of truth shined on their life, because it's painful. But I tell you another thing. If we hadn't done that, now there's still some flaws in the walls, okay? Just being honest with you. If you look hard enough, you're going to find them, all right? Now, we're going to put low lighting in there. So that, But if we hadn't done that, it'd be a mess. We're living in a day when people don't want the light of God's Word shined on their life, okay? So that's the second group. Last week, we looked at a man who faithfully delivered the Word of God. I'll review that very quickly. I'm going to have to hurry here. But this man named Micaiah, the king calls him in, said, okay, buddy, here, you tell us the truth. And so he says, okay, king, sarcastically, hey, go on down and fight him. You're going to be okay. It's going to all be good. And the king said, Graham came to me after lesson Sunday. He said, you missed the main point of the whole lesson. He said, when Micaiah said that, Ahab said to him, how often have I adjured you to tell me the truth? And what's the answer to that? Never. He didn't want to know the truth. So Graham said that was the whole point of the lesson. But he's not here, so I think he's wrong. Okay. So after that sarcastic answer, now he gives a strong delivery. He said, look, king, I see Israel like sheep on a hillside, and they're all scattered because the shepherd has been killed. And the whole point is, Ahab, you go to battle, you're going to die. Now, this is God's word. You go to battle, you're going to die. And of course, then we have that unusual passage where Micaiah tells about this vision he has of heaven and of God looking for someone who would deceive the king. And you think, oh, my soul. Let me just kind of return to that real quickly and just give you a couple truths. When you come to a passage that is difficult like that, what should you do? Well, I think you need to rely on what you do know is true. Okay? Go back to what you know is the truth. And I had a couple thoughts. Number one, we know that God is sovereign over all things. We know that. Okay? Anything that happens in your life, God either is the author of it or he has allowed it to happen. Now, I believe that with all my heart. Okay? And by the way, that brings comfort. That brings reason to life. But God is not the author of evil. He cannot be. In fact, I didn't give you this verse last week, but in James 1:13 it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am what? Tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man." God may allow you to sin. He does allow evil, but God doesn't cause it. Okay? What is the root cause of all sin and evil? Wow, that was not that hard of a question, I didn't think. What is the root cause of all sin and evil? The heart. Why would that be? You were created perfectly. Well, Adam was. But who is behind the fall? Yeah, Satan is obviously the root of all evil and all sin. Now, disease and all those things come about because of the fall. Because we have diseased bodies. We have diseased hearts. Okay? So all of that comes about from that. But do remember that God limits what Satan can do. We saw that in the book of Job. But again, that's really not the main point of the lesson. So, this guy says, look, king, you go to battle, you're going to die. So what did the kings do? They went to battle. That's exactly right. They said, okay, forget it. We're going to battle. And that's where we pick it up. Because in verse 29, we're going to see that these two kings, especially Ahab, disregarded the word of God. Disregarded the word of God. All right, you're in verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went to the battle. So here they're preparing to go to battle, all right? They decide, we're going to Ramoth-Gilead. We're going to reject what Micaiah said. We're going to believe the false prophets. We're going to battle. But I think in the back of his mind, and Mark mentioned this after class last week, Ahab kind of believed what he said. Don't you think? Because when these guys would usually go to battle, it was very obvious who the king was. He was dressed in his royal armor, his royal garments. He had the royal mount, the royal chariot, you know. You look out, you could say, hey, that guy's the king. And so he said, you know what? I've got a plan, Jehoshaphat. Here's the plan. They're probably going to go after the king. So I'm going to dress like a regular soldier. You dress like the king. Remember what I said at the beginning? Sin makes us stupid. In other words, he was saying to Jehoshaphat, take a red marker and red paint and put a huge bullseye on your chest. How stupid can you be? Well, I mean, with friends like that, who needs enemies, you know? And so Jehoshaphat agrees with this guy, and he says, okay, I'm going to do that. So basically, he's announcing to all the troops, I'm the king, I'm the guy to kill, come and get me. What in the world? And you look at that and you say, man, that's stupid. I mean, that's just not very smart. And for Ahab to talk him into that, it's like, okay, Jehoshaphat. Now, remember something about Jehoshaphat. What did we start out with? He's the man that desired the will of God. By the way, he is a man we're going to see at the end of our lesson in a brief synopsis of a life who had a father named Asa, who was a godly man, and Jehoshaphat was a man that lived like his father. His overall record of life was that he was a godly man, that he loved the word of God. And yet here he is, and he's saying, okay, Ahab, you sneak in there undercover, I'll be the man. And I read that story and I say, you are dumb. You are a French fry short of a happy meal. I mean, you know, your elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. I mean, there's something wrong with this guy. But again, isn't that true of us when we sin? Let me give you a couple of examples. These are just things that came off the top of my head, which is it's very dangerous. All right. Number one, let's go back to the beginning. Adam and Eve. What was their life like before the fall? Seeing no weeds. I was out again last night in my perennial battle with Bermuda grass. And now I've got this other kind of grass growing that I'm really afraid of because we got some here at the church and it just grows and I don't know what kind it is. Wire grass, is that what it is? Is there a way to kill it? It'll kill everything. My neighbor did that a couple years ago. Eric Barnes, remember Eric? He put Roundup on his whole yard. Whole front yard. Just killed his whole front yard. A couple years later, Bermuda grass come back up. It's part of the fall. But think about their life. Here they are, they're perfect. They work, but it's not labor. They're walking with God in the cool of the day. They can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden except one. I mean, wow! And in one foul swoop, they ruined all that. How stupid. I mean, what in the world? Now, she was deceived. Adam did it knowingly. But you read those kind of stories and you think, what are you thinking? I think about Achan. That came to my mind right away. Remember Achan? They're going to go against Jericho, and God said, don't touch anything in Jericho. And he saw that gold and the silver, the Babylonian garments, and he took them and he hid them in his tent. And what happened to him? Well, God revealed his sin. And he was killed. And his family was killed. It's interesting. When they went to Bethel, the next city, you know what God said? You can take whatever you want. All he had to do was wait for one city. How foolish. How foolish. I think, and this is the big one to me. I think of Samson. What were some of the things that Samson did? Some of his exploits. Carried the city gates. Okay, so, you know, no small feat. He killed how many Philistines? All right, here's a guy who can take the jawbone of a donkey. Now, I'm not exactly what that looks like, but I can imagine. And I don't know if he used the teeth side out or if he, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, here, this is not a guy taking this huge sword or a bazooka or something. I mean, here he's taking a job and he kills 1,000 Philistines. Whoa. What else did he do? Not only was he strong, but he was quick. He caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together. Have you ever caught a fox? Not going to happen, right? I mean, think about that, folks. This guy, I mean, talk about natural abilities, and yet we get to the end of his life, and what's he doing? He's in with Delilah. Now, he had a woman problem his whole life. Okay? He just made wrong choices. But he gets to the end of his life, he's with Delilah, and she says, oh, Samson, tell me the secret of your strength. And he said, well, you know, if you'll take 7 green withes, which are ropes, And tie me up with that, you know, I'll be weak like anybody. And she wakes, so she does it. And he wakes up and she says, oh, the Philistines be upon. Then he breaks the ropes and, you know. And, now, right there, don't you think he should have said, But he doesn't. And so he goes on and she said, okay, Samson, if you really love me, you know, tell me. Those weeping women will get you in trouble right there. new ropes, takes the new ropes. So does the new ropes, and of course, same whole scenario. And so she goes on, and he said, look, if you take the locks, the seven locks of my hair, and you weave them together, then I'll be weak like the other man. He's getting close to truth, isn't he? Now, folks, this is the third one. And he wakes up the next morning, and behold, whoopee, oh, can you imagine? His hair is all, who would have thought? And you want to climb into the pages of Scripture and say, Samson, what's wrong with you? Why are you so stupid? I mean, any idiot could see what's going on here. I mean, do you see that? And you think, my lands, this guy was born without a brain. And you know, of course, the final act. He finally says, if you cut my hair, I'll be weak like any other man. She calls the barber in, they cut his hair, and his strength is gone. And he put out his eyes, and he's grinding like an animal. What a terrible cost to sin. And I read that story, and I think, how can someone be so stupid? And the Holy Spirit of God says, Seaman, how can you be so stupid? Now, we look at the story of Samson, and we're very quick to judge and say, man, that guy was an idiot. I mean, talk about stupid. But I think if we're honest people, we need to stop and take a look at our own lives and think about the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, and how often, like Ahab and Samson and Eve and Achan, we disregard the Word of God and disobey the Word of God. We know better. I know better. And I think it would do us all well to realize the stupidity of sin. We are so easily deceived, aren't we? And we make wrong choices over and over and over again. And we just need to stop and remember what the Word of God says and obey it. And obey it. Don't be deceived by the devil. Don't be deceived. If the truth were to be known and we went around and could look at every heart in this room, and Pastor's going to preach on that this morning. Stay for part two, okay? What would we find? Hey, you look good this morning. You did. Some of you, you cleaned up really well. I mean, you look good. None of us look like stupid sinners. But I wonder, in the privacy of our own houses or minds, if we're just as dumb as Samson, just as stupid as Jehoshaphat, just as stupid as Ahab. Because Ahab has been told by God, you go to battle, you're going to die. Now, it's interesting to me because what I think he's doing here is he's trying to get around what God said. God said, you go to battle, you're going to die. He said, no, I won't. I'll disguise myself. They won't know I'm the king. They'll know Jehoshaphat is the king because he's stupid, you know, and he'll do anything I tell him to do, you know. But they won't know I'm the king. No, God's word is not going to be carried out in my life. And that's exactly where we are as sinners, as believers, isn't it? We say, well, I know what God's word says, but... Huh? Well, let's see what happens. The preparation for the battle. Look at the providence of God in the battle, verse 31. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that had ruled over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Uh-oh. There's only one guy that looks like the king of Israel out there. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Ahab's plan is working. And they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Now, when you read that passage, you don't quite understand exactly the full context of what happened. If you look, and you don't need to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles 18:31, which is their parallel passage, let me read you what it says there. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Now remember, here is a man who desired to do the will of God, but has some real problems with separation and some real problems with brains, okay? And it says, "Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out." Now listen what else it says. "And the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him." That's the rest of the story. Now, don't we have a great God? I mean, here's a man who's in the wrong place, the wrong time, doing something stupid. And he calls out to God in mercy. And God says, "All right." And he gets the soldiers away from him and he spares his life. Okay? So Jehoshaphat's okay. What about Ahab? Okay? The undercover king. All right? Well, let's see what happens to him. Verse 33, "It came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him." Look at this, verse 34. "And a certain man drew a bow at a venture." Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, he's armed with a bow and arrow, and he just said, "Well, there's the army of Israel. I'm just going to shoot this bad boy, and I hope it gets somebody." Okay? He's just like a shotgun, you know. He's just shoot there and hope it hits somebody. Look what happens. Verse 34, "And it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, 'Turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded.' And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, 'Every man to his city, every man to his own country.' So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake." What happened to Ahab? Ahab said, "I'm going to disregard the word of God. That's okay. I think I can get around it. I'm going to go to battle anyway. It's going to be okay. I'll disguise myself. God won't know where I am. I'll be okay. And I can just go into the battle and fight." And God said, "Uh-uh." Now, there are two prophecies about Elijah that are fulfilled in this passage. One was given in the last chapter by Elijah. One was given by this prophet Micaiah. What did Micaiah say was going to happen? He's going to die. What else is going to happen? They're going to scatter the people. What happened? He died. The people were scattered. Okay? Right? Just like the Word of God said. You think the Word of God is pretty accurate? Stop and think about this. When we sin, we must be in our minds thinking, you know what? I know God says it, but it probably didn't apply to me. You know? I know God said it, but I'm the exception. And God took him down just like he said he would. Now, there's another prophecy given by Elijah. When Jezebel had Naboth killed so he could get his vineyard, remember that? And he said, "Look, buddy, when you're going to die, and your blood is going to be licked up by the dogs just like at the same place that Naboth's was." Now, I have a problem. And you asked this question last week, I think, or maybe 2 weeks ago. It didn't happen. Now, we do see that he died. They cleaned out the chariot. The blood was licked up by the dog, but that was in Samaria. Okay, now I hope your thinking cap is on. Where was Naboth killed?
Jezreel.
Uh-oh. We have found a problem in the Bible. The Bible is not true. I want you to turn back to chapter 21, and I don't know if I wrote the verse down. Let's see. I did not, but I can find it real quickly. Elijah comes on the scene in verse 17 of chapter 21 and says, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. But what happened after that? When Elijah came to Ahab, what did Ahab do?
He repented.
Aha! And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? He goes through all of this. Let's see. It says in verse 27, And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. What is he talking about? What evil? The fact that he's going to die and have his blood licked up at the same place that Naboth was. But in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. All right, so he said it's not going to happen as you prophesied, but it will happen in his son. And it's interesting that he did have a son named Joram. Jehu came on the scene, killed Joram, and he said to take his body and cast it where? In the vineyard that Naboth owned. There you go. That resolves the problem. Okay? So the point of the lesson today is what? I hope you got it. Sin is stupid. And sin makes us stupid. Now here's the deal. This week, today, maybe right now, you're going to be tempted. Right now, you may be saying that. You may be tempted in your mind to say, that old bald-head teacher is stupid. All right? You're right, but listen. The devil wants to deceive you. The devil wants to destroy you. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's after you. It's just a matter of fact. Your flesh wants to do wrong. The world wants to conform you, pressure you into doing what it wants to do. You got a decision to make. You got lots of decisions to make. I want to remind you when temptation comes this week, say, wait a minute, sin is stupid. Sin makes me stupid. And obey the word of God. Think how our lives would change if every time temptation came, we could say, no. You're tempted to talk about that person. No. You're tempted to have that wicked thought. No, because sin is stupid. And by the way, the devil always promises you things he can't deliver. Sin is stupid. And when you think about Jehoshaphat, I want you to picture him with the bullseye on his chest. What an idiot. That's exactly how we are when we give in to sin. We're stupid. Okay? Now, my mom would probably taught me not to say those words, but I'm talking about myself, so I can do that, okay? Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. Don't reject the Word of God. Don't think you can just do whatever you want to do and the Word of God will not come true, okay? Obey the Word. Obey the Word. Now, Lord willing, I'm not sure what I'm going to teach on next week. We should move into 2 Kings. I may have a special lesson since it's a big day, so we'll look at that, but we'll pray about that and see how the Lord leads. So let's do our job this week. Let's get folks in the class back, okay? I can think of 3 or 4 couples right now who've not been here for weeks, maybe months, and I've contacted them, maybe if you will, and everybody in the class does, they'll get so tired of it, they'll say, well, I'll just come then, okay? And then there are lost people all around us that need to hear the gospel, people not in church. Let's go after them this week, okay? Lord, we do thank you for these folks, our good attention this morning. God, help us not to be stupid. Oh, God, help us to be people who know the word of God and obey. Help me to be a man who obeys you in every area of my life. Oh, God, help me not to be stupid. Lord, help me to make right choices, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you folks. Good.